All right, fellas, again, we're going to be in Psalm number 38 again on the morning. So if you'd like to find your place there for the Sunday school hour, we're going to take another look at Psalm 38 this morning. I don't know if we'll be here any more after today or not, but I do feel like it's the Lord's will that we go back there for the morning hour this morning. All right, and we'll read a couple of verses and try to get right into the thought that the Lord has laid on our heart for the morning hour. He said, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrow stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head, as an heavy burden they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled, I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloft from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all the day long. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope, thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare my iniquity, I will be sorry for my sin. But mine iniquities are lively, my enemies are lively, and they are strong. And they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil for good are mine adversaries, because I follow the thing that good is. Forsake me not, O Lord, O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. Father, thank you for the reading of thy word. It's my prayer that you'd help us in the Sunday school hour. We're not here, Lord, to entertain, and neither are we here to perform, simply here to preach and teach the Word of God, that we as your children might be better servants, Lord, that we might know more about thee, and that, Lord, we might please you in our life that we live, being holy and walking in paths of righteousness. Help us, I pray, to get over every obstacle this morning. Help us to be overcomers and victorious. I pray that you'll help us to glorify, magnify and honor thy precious, wonderful, and holy name, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's look at verse number 1 this morning, fellas, and take our thought from the last part of it, where David said, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. I want to try to bring us a few thoughts this morning on a very, I would say, uncomfortable topic. I want to teach this morning on the power of chastisement. David said there that he wouldn't enjoy the Lord chastening him in his hot displeasure. Now, chastisement, gentlemen, is real for the children of God. If we be without chastisement, Paul said in Hebrews, whereof all are partakers, then are we bastards and are not sons. And that's not a naughty word. It's just a Bible term that describes an illegitimate child. And Paul is simply saying, if we be without correction in our life, without child raising, without chastisement, then we're simply not God's child. Chastisement is evidence of God's love. For whom He loves, He rebukes and chastens. Just like a man would his own child. A man that will not chasten his own children does not love that child. Now somebody said, I love mine, therefore I won't chastise them. No, you don't love them unless you do chastise them. You're not performing your duties properly as a father if you fail to chastise those children under you. And God, gentlemen, being our Heavenly Father, being our spiritual overseer, being our spiritual guardian, will not permit you and I to walk in disobedience nor in sin without His chastening hand falling upon us. Now, I want to say that many times chastisement, well, never is chastisement enjoyable. It is always a grievous thing. But the end results are for our profit, for our good and our blessing. Now, as I said last week, this Psalm of David is a call to remembrance of David's past life. In fact, some of the writers and commentators believe it to have a special reference to the sin with Bathsheba. And I want to say something right there, and I may repeat this again. I think that I will in just a minute. That David's chastisement that we read about in the Scripture, mostly, for the most part, that is, shows that God's chastening hand externally in David's life. In other words, they said the sword would not leave your household. And we see there where God's own children became a plague to him. He had one son that grew up in rebellion, Absalom. Another child grew up and committed incest with his own daughter. And we look at these atrocities in David's life on the outside, fellas, as being the chastening hand of God. In fact, the child died, first of all. And then the sin with Tamar. And then the sin with Absalom. All these things in David's life. And many times, fellas, we look at God's chastisement on the external. But I want to say to you that the greatest and most painful part of chastisement is that which takes place in the soul. It is not so much what God does out here that brings correction in our life, but it is the effect of what God does out here. Amen. You see, what God does out here will affect our soul. It'll affect our heart. It'll bring us into a very grievous state of life. Yes, and I believe that's what we found, or what we see here, in the life of David. He said, my loins, my strength is filled with this loathsome disease. He said, there's no soundness anymore left in my flesh. And he said, there's no rest in my bones at all. His friends stood afar off from David. And what David is saying here, that my grief is more than I can bear. It's one thing for God to touch us on the external, gentlemen. It is another thing for God to touch us internally in our spirit. Just like the Lord Jesus, He suffered greatly on Calvary. And by the way, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. He suffered greatly in His physical body. He was beaten. The hairs of His face were plucked out. He was beaten with a cat of nine tails, nails driven through His body, crowned with thorns, smitten in the face. Our Lord suffered greatly on the outside, but it was when God saw the travail of His soul that He was satisfied. That just shows the external part of His suffering. The internal suffering was far, far greater. I want to say that there are some things worse than death. Amen. Some things in life, gentlemen, worse than death. Right. Yeah. And God ever puts His hand on one of us in a definite way to bring us to a place of obedience to Him will be probably far more unpleasant than just dying and going on to be with God. And David found that in his life, that his sin with Bathsheba would not be overlooked by God. Hey, gentlemen, you can be sure your sin will find you out, even if your name is Bill Clinton. It'll find you out. Mark it down. I want to turn this off for just a second.
Do you believe that in some of the newspapers there are fallen gentlemen, and this is all men out here, they're calling the Oval Office the Oral Office?
Right? I'm telling you that your sin will find you out. You cannot have a high enough position to disobey God's commandments and God not find you out in that sin. David was the king of Israel, and yet his sin found him out, and God's chastening hand fell upon him. No man's too big for God, brethren.
Amen.
And no brother is too small for God. And by the way, there's no sin too large for God, and neither any sin too small for God to get a hold of our hearts and chastise us over. And so we see here that David is probably being chastised for his sin with Bathsheba. This psalm calls up to the view of his memory the sins of the past, the afflictions of the past, his enemies of the past, and his mercies of the past. I'm on. I done turned it on. And his mercies of the past. And so this psalm causes David to look back. And it views his sin. It views his afflictions. It views his blessings and mercies from God that he's had in the past. And fellas, there's nothing wrong with occasionally glancing back at the past. It will make a better Christian out of you. Not to say that we're to dwell on the past. If you dwell on past sin, it will drag you down. But it is good to view that sin and then look at the mercy of God that brought you through it and how God brought you through it. And by the way, God will never drag that old sin out of the closet. And we need to get a hold of this. Fellas, that is why chastisement comes quickly. God never gave David but a year in his sin to remind him of it. Now, this old business that we can sin and live 25 years and all is well and never experience the hand of God, you might as well forget that. If a man be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, he is a bastard and not a son. Let me ask you something. Your child disobeys you, and you're to Walmart, and there's 75 people around, and he has made a literal fool out of himself and out of you too, out in public, and you have tried to correct him and speak to him in a sweet, still, small voice and get his attention to bring him into obedience and to calm his little spirit, and he continues to carry on in his disobedient way. Are you going to wait 25 years to take him by the hand, lead him out behind a woodshed, and bust his hide? I don't intend to. I'm going to lead them out behind a woodshed and apply something to their rear end. And so is God with us, brethren.
That's right.
If you get by in your sin for a long period of time, you'll get the idea you can get by with more sin. And I'm telling you, it will mount up in your life and become real, real heavy to carry. And when God's chastisement would fall, it wouldn't be chastisement, it'd be judgment.
That's right.
Now, don't nobody leave me. Most scripture, and I've always said this, offers a view of David's visible chastenings. His chastenings outward. But Psalm 38 brings us into view with his soul in deep agony. David is here a miserable man. He has fell under the chastisement of God. And we're looking at David's soul, fellas. When he talks about that loathsome disease in his loins and no soundness in his flesh and the fact that there's no rest in his bones and his lovers are afar off and his heart panteth, that word literally means that when he said in verse 10 that my heart panteth, David is literally saying that my heart is, what's that big word, palpitating. I mean, it is racing out of control. David is saying, I am on the very brink of having a heart attack. He thought he was going to die. And I'm telling you, gentlemen, that the hand of God can make a man think he's going to die. And in many cases, you wish you were dead.
Amen.
That's right. I'm telling you, my daddy took a hold of me a few times, and I thought unto God, Pop, if you don't let up, I'm going to the promised land, to the happy hunting ground. And that's right. And amen. And so it is with God. Somebody said, I have never experienced that in my life. Well, hang on if you're saved. Fellas, I'll never forget a few years ago, and the church, most of you know it, remember, when I took an old blue Chrysler New Yorker after I spent hundreds of dollars on that sorry thing, and because I was just fed up to here with it, walked in down at Norman Bogus, signed the papers, and drove off in a little old blue, a red Buick, what was it? Wasn't it a Sabre? It was a, Regal. And I'll be honest with you. I liked that car more than any car I've ever owned. I did. It had the scat. You shove down on that 3,800 fuel injection, boy, she'd squall tires and get down the highway. I liked it. I did. But the minute I drove off the parking lot, when I signed my name on that dotted line and drove off the parking lot, God said, bam, and I'm telling you, my soul sunk to my belly. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And it wasn't but two or three years down the road, God took what I thought was a blessing from me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God deprived me of the very thing that I thought was a blessing, not to mention living for several weeks with my heart in the pit of my stomach, knowing that I'd done wrong and disobeyed what God wanted and was living outside the will of God for my life.
Amen.
I'm telling you, it is a miserable, miserable, agonizing, distressful situation to get yourself into. Now, hey, chastisement can be mild, it can be strong.
Amen.
I want to repeat that. It can be mild or it can be strong. If we listen to God's voice when He speaks, it will be small and mild. But if we bow our neck, God knows how to get our attention. Gentlemen, He did in the life of Naomi. Now, I don't know whether Naomi's husband was saved, but brother, when she got down into the land of Moab, God put her on the whipping post. It's no longer God speaking, it's God doing. See, God first speaks in chastisement, and if speaking don't do any good, then God does. And when God does, there is no, gentlemen, putting out the fire. As Billy Kelly preached years ago, God will set your barley field on fire.
Right.
Amen. Old Joab had a nice barley field and Absalom told his servant, said, go tell Joab I want it. Joab said, I ain't got time for you, Absalom. He sent him the second time, said, go tell Joab I want him. Second time, Joab said, I don't have time. And the third time, Absalom said, you go up there and set his barley field on fire. And I'll guarantee you that'll get his attention. And that servant set the barley field on fire. Joab come running to Absalom and said, why did you set my barley field on fire? Absalom said, I sent for you twice and you didn't come, Joab. And I'm telling you, fellas, when God, that tells me that God may speak twice in mild chastisement to get our attention. But if God can't get our attention speaking, God will get our attention in doing. And when God does, it's tied to the whipping post and you'll stay there until every lash has been administered by the hand of God.
Right.
Every one of them. He'll burn her down to the stump, brethren. He sure will. Now, it is good to have times of remembrance in life, as David did. It's like a millstone or a milestone on the road. It reminds us of our journey that we have traveled and to inspire us onward to the future. The past is not entirely to be forgotten. It can be called it can be called us as an evidence of our depravity, of His divine faithfulness, and as profitable moral reflection for the soul. In other words, looking back at the past and what God can do reminds us, gentlemen, of our depravity and what we are. It will remind us, brethren, of God's divine faithfulness in our life, not to allow us to live in sin. And it will remind us or make profitable for us the morality of our lives. It will help us to be moral, holy children of Almighty God. Now, I see three things in this, and I want to point them out, and we're done with Sunday school. I want to mention, first of all, chastisements, deep afflictions. That's what I've been bearing on. It's deep afflictions, gentlemen. I mean, chastisement can penetrate deeply into the soul of man. I mean, we take a switch and switch our children. All it does is leave a few little red welts. But I'm here to tell you that God's chastisement can penetrate deeply and afflict the soul in a real deep way. Notice with me, number one, about these deep afflictions, what they accomplish, how they affect us, what they do for us. Look at verse 1. He said, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. That chastisement of God will help you and I to apprehend God's wrath. Now somebody said, and by the way, we live in a generation, gentlemen, who do not want to believe in the wrath of God.
Right.
Only in God love. Oh, he's a God of love. God loves everybody. Ooh, whoo. I thought of something just turned my stomach, made me sour to the core. Miss Hall and I we left yesterday and got hungry, and we went out to the fish place to get us a little fish, and we sat there, and a man and woman was sitting next to us at a table talking. A fella come up and sat down and went to talking, and directly I looked at Miss Hall, and she was sitting there real strange, and I said, what are you doing? And she said, I'm doing something I oughtn't to be doing. I said, what? She said, I'm eavesdropping. I said, eavesdropping? She said, I'm eavesdropping. I can't help it. She said, I'm about to boil. She said, I'm just about to get up and lose my cool and say something I ought not to say. I said, honey, what in the world is going on? She said, honey, she said, that man sitting right behind me is talking about Olive Branch Baptist Church. And said, what he is saying is that their covenant on the wall states that you cannot be a member of that church if you partake of alcoholic beverages. And this man said, I'll tell you right now, I don't agree with that. I went to the pastor and told him I didn't agree with that. And said, would you believe he got up the next service and preached against liquor and told folks they ought not to take a little drink every now and then. I felt like getting up and said, hey, sir, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. And the wrath of God abides on all drunkards because drunkards will spend their life in hell.
Amen.
Huh? I'm telling you, we live in a society of people that absolutely know nothing about the wrath of God.
Amen.
And God's wrath will be meted out upon all unbelievers. And gentlemen, if chastening in the life of a Christian is paralleled to the wrath of God on an unbeliever, my God, can you imagine what chastisement, how powerful and deep the afflictions of chastisement are in our souls?
Yes.
My God, it's time we woke up.
Right.
Huh? Amen. It apprehends. God puts a board on you one time. It'll help you to apprehend or understand or get a hold of the wrath of God.
Yes, sir.
It's a terrible thing, brethren, and a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God.
Yeah, right.
Huh? Now, I'm going to tell you why most people don't believe what I'm trying to teach you this morning. They've never experienced it. They know nothing about it.
Amen. Right.
Now, stay with me. Sin always leads men to regard God as offended. That's how it apprehends that wrath. If God has chastised you for your sin, I'm going to tell you, this is what I said. One thing it will do, it will lead you to regard or to understand the fact that God has been offended. Sin offends God, gentlemen. Now, I want to say something right there. There's a lot of preaching today on the fact that when God saves a person, all he deals with is their sin of unbelief. There is other preaching that all God deals with, or God deals with a particular sin in your life. And gentlemen, I want everybody to listen now. I am not saying that God did not deal with that woman at the well and her adultery. He did. Or the rich man, he dealt with his riches. And no doubt in Zacchaeus' life, he dealt with his dishonesty. But I'm here to tell you that God, are you listening now? That God, in the salvation of a sinner, my friend, God has been offended and God deals with sin because He has been offended in that sin. And our salvation, God deals with divine, holy justice. Did you get a hold of that? God has been offended. God, what I'm saying, God doesn't necessarily have to point out a lost man's particular sin in his life. He just points out the fact that that man is a sinner, and because he's a sinner, he has offended God, and God's holiness must be justified. Are you getting a hold of that? I hope so. And so God's chastisement, as we apprehend God's wrath, it leads us to regard God as being offended. The soul is certain to view God through its own moral experiences. I want you to get a hold of that. Gentlemen, when you read this Bible and view God through this Bible, someday when you mature enough, you are going to view your own personal experiences, to view God through your own personal experiences of life. And you'll either view God in two ways, as a father or as a judge.
That's right.
Huh? As a father, He cherishes us as a nurse does her children. But as a judge, God judges our sin and chastises us or corrects us accordingly to it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? A father or a judge. When we look at God, when we in our moral experiences, And then we become conscious of our innocence or our guilt. And if we're innocent, God deals with us as a father. If we are guilty, God deals with us as a judge. Listen to me now. Don't nobody leave me. I have been accused of some things wrongly in this church. And men out yonder, when they thought that I was guilty of sin, looked as though I should be judged in that sin. But lo and behold, the mercies of God.
Right.
No, not judgment, gentlemen, but mercy from God.
Yes, sir.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hey, I could name preachers to you that you know that when rumors began to be spread about Brother Hall, they fell into the same category as David's friends did in verse number 11. They stood afar off. They pulled away from Brother Hall. They stood back, folded their arms, and said, I wonder what God is going to do to him next. And the reason they did, they were afraid that the woe and the judgment that was going to fall upon me would fall upon them. But hallelujah to God, in my innocence, God did not judge me. God comforted me as His child.
Amen. Amen.
You get a hold of that? Hallelujah!
Yes.
Amen! I'll say a little more about that in a minute.
Amen.
Chastisement, the deep afflictions of God, we apprehend God's wrath. And then these deep afflictions penetrates the soul of man. Those who are convinced of sin cannot expect the arrow of the Holy Spirit, or can expect the arrow of the Holy Spirit to penetrate their innermost soul and cause terrible pain in the conscience. David said in verse 2, for thine arrow stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. You know where the pain was at? Where I was saying a while ago, gentlemen, right in the conscience of man. My God, my conscience has been overloaded. I've sinned against God. And God's arrow, a flaming hot arrow, has pierced my very conscience, and His hand is heavy upon me. I am made aware of my sin. It has penetrated body and has invaded the very soul of man. That's where David found himself here. In the soul, agonizing there. In the soul. God's chastisement brought pain in his life. Hey, I'm telling you, I'm so sick of the school system. I'm sick of public schools. I'm sick of all the works. They've deprived parents of the right to spank their children. Children, don't you spank that child and inflict pain upon them. I'm telling you, gentlemen, that chastisement leads us to live a godly life, and there's pain in that correction. If there's no pain, there's no gain for you and I.
That's right. Amen.
Son, pain of soul will bring gain to our spirituality in our lives.
Yeah.
And I'm so sick of the stinking worldly system that we're living in. We've raised a bunch of renegades and a bunch of devils, and amen to God, I'm telling you. And I read yesterday's newspaper like the puked. I'm so sick of the whole mess. Amen to God. If you don't like it, you can lump it, hump it, bump it. Don't make no difference to me. You know what? Hey, you know what yesterday's paper said? Did you know the little boy was killed out here in the cemetery, and one man pleaded guilty and the other in his pleading innocence? You know what he's basing his innocence on? Are you ready for this? He's black. He's black. He's black. And he has been prejudiced against because he's a black man. I don't give a flip if he's red, yellow, black, white, a white nigger or a black nigger. If he killed somebody. And see, it's never been brought out in the paper until now that those men that beat that boy to death were black. Now it comes out. They're black. Huh? Got to get him out of the county, you know. He won't get a fair trial. I'm glad the judge said we're trying him here.
Amen.
I don't care if he's black or white. They killed a man.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to tell you something else. We're talking about God's wrath and God's chastisement penetrating the very conscience of a man and soul of a man and being heavy on his conscience. I'm telling you what's wrong in America today, buddy. We have got raised up a bunch of people whose conscience have been seared with a hot iron, and they have no conscience. I read yesterday in the paper yesterday about this fella that killed this little girl and drowned and threw her in Lake Luzerne. They said that man slit her throat very deeply with a box cutter, raped that kid, dragged her 700 feet, threw her in a lake. Water in her lungs proved that she didn't die from the wound. She drowned in the lake, and the judge said that man showed absolutely no sign of remorse or repentance about it. Why, Brother Hall? It's because that man, my friend's conscience, has been seared with a hot iron, and he knows nothing of God, has no thoughts about God. But I'm telling you, what bothers me more than anything is the fact that it's crept into our Baptist churches, and we can seemingly get by with every imaginable sin, and it not bother us. It's because our conscience, gentlemen, has been seared with a hot iron.
Right.
God's arrows always hit the mark.
Yes, sir.
And they always remind us of the bitterness of our sin. God don't miss, gentlemen.
Right. Amen.
God hits the mark. His arrows are unseen, unexpected. They made no noise, but they are abiding in their injury. I'm sure old David was sitting there at the house, listening to WSOF radio, probably just had his morning devotion, read the Bible and praised God for being so good to him and giving him such wealth and a good home. Thought he was done, got by clear and from his sin, and everything was swept under the rug and gone. Nobody knew anything about it. And about that time, a little knock on the door, and unseemingly to David, had no earthly idea it was coming, but a preacher walked up, put his finger in David's face and said, "You're the man, David." Oh, I wonder how his soul sank within him when God brought to remembrance the sin that he had committed.
Amen. Amen.
It makes men loathsome of themselves, this chastisement does. Look at verse number 3. David said, "There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any soundness in my bones because of my sin." Look at verse number 5. "My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness." Fellas, look right up here at me. He said, "My wounds stink." Hey, everybody else could get away from David and avoid the stink. But a man under the chastening hand of God, the stink is kindled upon him. You can't get away from it. You'll smell it. It's a stench. It stinks in your nostrils. You can't avoid it. I remember several years ago, back in the 70s, I worked for Parent Oil Company and delivering farm fuels and worked on wheel horse tractors and lawn boys and Toro tractors and all that mess in the summertime and hauled farm fuel. And in the wintertime, we hauled diesel fuel to homes and kerosene to homes. And I come down, gentlemen, with one of the worst sinus infections a man could ever have. And all I had to do was bend over and I could smell that infection in my nose. Nobody else could smell it. But bless your heart, I could. Every time I'd bend over, my God, it was terrible. I mean, it was smelled rotten, and it's what it was something in my sinuses rottening away in there. I'm telling you, it took a year to get over that mess. Hey, David said, I was loathsome, my wounds were corrupt, and I stank because of my sin. I'm telling you, the chastening hand of God will cause your sin to stink in your presence. And buddy, if it don't stink, if you can live with it, you've got a problem in your soul today.
Amen.
That's right. I'm trying to hurry now. Those deep afflictions will overwhelm us with a consciousness of sin. David found no human refuge, and he found no light that could reach him. Huh? Hey, fellas, and by the way, it don't do any good to run and talk to men when you're being chastised.
Right.
You need to run and talk to God.
Yes, sir.
And it deprived him of his rest, verse number 3. He said, there's no rest in my bones. Verses 9 and 10, it divests life of all human joy. He said in verse 9, Lord, all my desires before thee. My groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. There was no light, hey. There was no joy. No happiness. Fellas, hey. That's why, and everybody look right up here. That's why in Babylon they sat down under the willow trees or hang their harps on the willow trees as they sat down by the rivers in Babylon. Hey, Israel was under the chastisement of God. They said, sing to us. They said, we can't sing. Well, why not? We're in a strange land. We don't have any joy. Fellas, I'm telling you, have joy to sing. You've got to be in Canaan. Hey, to be happy in Jesus, you got to be in Canaan. They had sinned. Israel had grievously sinned. God rose up at times and sent prophets and men of God to preach to them and guide them and point them in the right way. But they would not of God's reproof, and it left God with no alternative but to bring them into captivity and set them in a place of chastisement. And it was there that they were deprived in life of all joy for God. I'll tell you what, I wonder where our joy is today.
Amen.
Hey, some of us may be under the chastisement hand of God, not even be aware.
Right.
My God, how long is it going to take God to wake some of you up?
Amen.
Hey, are we saved? Have we been to Calvary, brethren? Have we been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Have we been birthed into the family of God? Is heaven our home? Have we escaped the damnations of hell? Are we God's eternal child? Are we secured by the Holy Ghost, sanctified by fire, sealed to the day of redemption? Hallelujah to God. If we are, then it's time we ought to act like it.
That's right, amen.
Somebody said, I got a problem. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Somebody said, I'm mad. Get glad, bless God.
Right.
If I said, life ain't been good to me, then go tell God He don't know what's right for you. He's done all things well, gentlemen.
Amen.
And He's never made a mistake. I'm going to tell you our problem. We're too busy in life to sit down and view our situations and find out from God exactly what He's doing for us.
Right.
Or what He's doing to us. Or what He wants to do through us. God, help us. I'm telling you, I'm happy. I am happy. I won't say that again. I'm happy. Hallelujah to God. And I've probably got more problems than all of you put together. Amen to God. Somebody said, oh, you just built a new home. I may say something about that in the preaching hour. Yeah, and I owe $120,000 for it too. Plus another $50 on the one up the road. But I ain't a molly grubbing over it. Praise God, I'm a trusting God, gentlemen. Hallelujah to God. God's been good to me. God giveth and God taketh away. If God took everything that I've got, I'd still have to stand this morning and praise Him. He's been good to me. If He does nothing but allow me entrance into a heavenly celestial city, I can truly say God has been good to Brother Howell. Hallelujah to God.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank God. What time is it? Lost my watch. Now, chastisements, deep afflictions. Then I see chastisements, divine testing. Through chastisement, God tests us. He tries us. He tries us in the sincerity of human friendships. Look at verse 11. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. David said, my God, they've all deserted me. I want you to listen to what I wrote down here. Friends who are as thick as an eagle, as eagles on a carcass, while the feast lasts, are scarce in that neighborhood when the repast is over. I think what the brother here is trying to say is that a whole lot of Baptists are like lost people. They're your friend if everything's going well. But when things ain't going well, hey, they ain't your friend no more. But I've got news for you. A friend loveth at all times.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen to God.
Amen.
Friends do not reveal secrets. They keep their stinking mouth shut when they know something about a man of God.
Right.
Or a brother in Christ.
Right.
Or a sister in Christ. They button their lips and seal their mouth. Amen to God. A friend concealeth the matter, but a fool tells his whole heart. I'm telling you, it's time God's people learn that they some things we ought to keep inside.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I'm having a good time this morning. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I'll never forget one time when I was out in the world. Had a car, pocket full of money, and some other things you ought not to have. We were driving down Boo Road in Austin, Indiana. And that old car we were driving was a pretty good old car, but we changed the tires on one of the tires on the left front side. And being in the condition we was in, we didn't do a very good job. And my money was gone. And some of the other stuff, you know, that we had bought when my money was gone. And we had happened up the road and the front tire fell off. You know what happened? They said, see ya. I'm talking about a whole carload. They just deserted me. I mean, boy, I was their friend as long as the wallet was padded, buddy, and things was going all right. But when the wallet was empty and the car was broke down and the good time was gone, friends were gone. I'm telling you, I'm so sick of Baptists, bless God, amen, that cannot stand beside somebody when they're going through hard times in their life, amen, being either falsely accused or under the chastening hand of God. And many times, brethren, God allows us to be accused falsely that He might chastise us to warn us of sin in our life that may cause us a problem somewhere down the road.
Amen.
Amen. When Job's wealth was gone, so was most of his friends. Didn't have but three left. In chastisement, men generally live in loneliness. Job did. Most companions fear lest they should share the woe or the reproach of their afflicted comrade. Gentlemen, I'm here to tell you a few years ago, the problem that Brother Hall had here in the house of God, preachers from all over the country, I could name them, buddy. They just stood back and looked. And they didn't have to say nothing. I know what's running through their mind. I wonder what's going to happen to Hall now. Wonder what God's going to do. Hey, wonder what God. I had one of them egg suckers say, well, you know the old saying, Brother Hall, where there's smoke, there's bound to be a little fire. I'm going to tell you what, sometimes where there's smoke and no fire, it's because them egg suckers are trying to light the fire. Ain't God bless got enough fire in them to light the fire? And all the smoke is a bunch of hypocritical liars of the devil, his craft, trying to ruin the people of God. Amen. And cause us heartache and problems. Honey, and they're gone. But thanks be unto my God. I want to praise Him. They're gone, but oh, Brother Hall is still preaching with more unction on him than he's ever had these last. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. That's right, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
Chastisement, divine testing. It tests the sincerity of human friendships. It tests the moral tendency of our lives. David's chastisement had revealed him to himself, gentlemen, in no pleasant light. God said, there you are, David. But he showed it to David and not to anybody else.
Amen.
God will show you, brethren. He won't show you to everybody else. He'll show you to you in chastisement. David said, I'm corrupt. I stink.
Yes, sir.
I'm rotten. I'm loathsome. My God, I'm a mess, he said. I'm a mess. But he turned right around. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But chastisement's desperate pleadings. David said, oh Lord, don't forsake me. Look here, gentlemen, everybody, look right up here. David had been forsaken by his friends, but he said, oh Lord, don't forsake me. David knew that as long as the Lord never forsook him, he had a friend. Hallelujah to God. We're never friendless as long as God's on our side. Thanks be unto God. There's a little old license plate on some of the cars I've seen in Kentucky. There's a friend in Kentucky, and his name's Jesus. I'm glad. Thank God I've got a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. He knows all about me and still loves me. He knows my weaknesses. He knows my failures. He knows my frailties. He knows my sin. But God, hey, he still, thank God, he still loves me. That's what a friend is, brethren.
Amen.
Friend, somebody can know all about you and still love you. Amen to God. Look here, in verse number 13, David was silent toward men. He said, I never said a word to the egg suckers. I was silent. I never even answered them. Gentlemen, hey, answer not a fool in his folly.
Man.
I had one preacher a few years ago to ask me something. I just turned around and walked off. I said, the Bible said, answer not a fool in his folly, and just turned around and walked off. Huh? You hear what I'm saying? I was talking to Brother Hyatt last night. He had talked to a preacher on the phone. Said this preacher, said him and this preacher had a little discussion about some things. And he told, and this preacher told him, said, well, you need to call that man if you really believe. He believes that, Brother Hyatt. Brother Hyatt said, I don't need to call him. Why should I need to call him? I've read what the man believes. And you ain't got any business reading after him. So I ain't answering a fool down there in his folly. He said, I'm not answering you in your folly. As a fool, you speak.
Right.
He didn't say that, but I'm telling you, that's the way it was. Amen. David didn't say a thing to men. But buddy, in verse number 21 and 22, he said, forsake me not, O Lord my God. Be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord my salvation. David said, everybody else has forsaken me, but thanks be unto God the Lord ain't. And fellas, if the Lord is for you, who can be against you?
Amen.
And you're never friendless as long as the Lord's on your side. Look here, if you'll do right and it separates you from men because you're doing right and you fear loneliness, so be it. Let it separate you.
Yes.
If separation, if I'm doing right, then separate. I don't look for as many men here this year as there was last year in our meeting. Somebody said, are you worried about it? No!
Right.
Buddy, we're living in a day of separation. I'm going to keep on living right, brother. Now, I'm going to tell you how you can tell when Brother Hall ain't living right. When the touch is gone and the unction is gone, then you can say, Brother Hall's got a problem. He ain't living right. But as long as the touch is there and the oil is there and the unction is there, Brother Hall will be living right.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah to God. In fact, next Sunday, I'm going to preach on Steve Pleasant. Not really. But I don't care to tell you, if God will let me, I am going to preach on pleasant places.
Amen.
Hallelujah! God spoke to my heart this morning getting ready for this pleasant place. I can't only wait to get to it. Pleasant things, pleasant places. And a big long line has gone out to me in pleasant places. So I've got a good heritage. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah, the power of chastisement.